Psalm 47. Here once again, God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. If I were to give a theme to this psalm, it would be the reign and rule of Christ, the great king over the nations. You recall last month when we looked at Psalm 46, we noticed that there God was the refuge and strength of his people. That though the earth be removed, which it will be one day, and though the mountains be hurled into the depths of the sea, yet God is with his people. God is in the midst of her, his church, his city. She shall not be moved. We also saw that the nations rage against God. Yet he will make wars to cease to the ends of the earth. And here in this psalm, we have a call to sing praise as a result of God's victory over the nations. It is interesting that in the previous psalm, we are not told to sing praise. We are told to behold the works of God. And you remember, we are told to be still and know that the Lord is God. But it's not until we get to Psalm 47, this psalm, that we are called upon to sing praises unto our God for his great victory over the nations. This has rightly been called a royal psalm because it is about the rule and reign of the promised Messiah, King Jesus, over the nations. We could divide this psalm into three sections if we wanted to. Sections in the first section, verses 1 through 4, we see there is a call to rejoice at the coming of the great king. Then in verses 5 through 7, we see a call to rejoice at the enthronement or the coronation, we could say, of the king. And in the third section, verses 8 through 9, there we see a call to rejoice at the rule or conquest of the king. The coming of the king, the coronation of the king, and the complete conquest of the king. In verses 1 through 4, we see that the peoples or the nations are called to rejoice. This is not simply the Jewish people who are in view here, those who are the Old Testament people of God, but the gathered nations of the world rejoicing, both Jews and Gentiles alike. In verse 1, we see this call to clap our hands and shout. The clapping of hands was a common expression of rejoicing back then, just as it is today. Shouting and the clapping of hands took place when Joash was made king in 2 Kings 11, verse 12. And the people shouted out, "Long live the king!" You guys may have thought that started in the Middle Ages, but it didn't. It started way back in the times of the Old Testament. That's what they said, "Long live the king!" But notice that according to verse 3 of this psalm, there is a rejoicing over what the king will do when he comes. Verse 3, he will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. That is, the nations that raged against him back in Psalm 46 or back in Psalm 2, you remember. And this subduing is the great hope of God's people, the fulfillment of the promise in Genesis 3:15 that Christ and all who are in him would crush the serpent and those who follow the serpent. Paul writes in Romans 15:20, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. In Psalm 2, remember, God the Father says to his Son, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Here we see the coming of the king is going to do that. Then in verses 5 through 7, we see a call to sing praises over the enthronement of the king, the coronation of the king. Again, verses 6 and 7 says, sing praises to God, sing praises to our king, sing praises, for God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. And what does it mean to sing praises with understanding other than to sing praises with the knowledge of the fact that God is indeed king of all the earth and his rule will one day be evident in the earth? And that is how we sing to God with understanding, that we actually know and understand that Christ is king, that he is conquering, and that he will one day, and we will with him one day, rule the nations. And how many sing their praises to God without that understanding? Christ, the God-man who is mediator, is King of kings, and he reigns over all. Verse 5 says that, before it mentions that, that God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Some have said that this verse historically might refer to the time when David brought up the Ark of the Covenant from the house of Obed-Edom to be put into the tabernacle in 2 Samuel 6:6. And this may very well be the case. The Ark was the symbol of God's a presence, and it would indeed have been brought up to and put into the tent of God. But we know that this is ultimately referring to the prediction of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing to see even how many older Jewish commentators who didn't even in the Old Testament times, viewed this verse as the ascension and the enthronement of the coming Messiah. Christ is the fulfillment of the Ark of the Covenant. It is he that went up with a shout 40 days after his resurrection to rule and reign from the tabernacle in the heavenlies made without hands. This is about the ascension of Christ. God, the God-man, has gone up with a shout. And then in verses 8 through 9, we see the results of Christ's enthronement, his rule and reign over the nations, his complete conquest of the nations. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people are gathered together. Now, the leaders in Israel are often referred to as princes. They are referred to as princes even in the days of the wilderness wanderings in the book of Numbers. But this seems to be referring to all the people of God viewed as princes in the earth. Notice the parallelism in verse 9. The princes of the people have gathered together the people of the God of Abraham. By virtue of our union with Christ, we will reign and rule with him one day over the nations. Daniel 7:27 says this, then the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. Revelation 1:5 says, "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to God, to his God and Father." And in Revelation 2:26, Christ says, "He who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations." And then also notice the last half of verse 9. "For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted." The word shield is used in other places in Scripture in reference to kings and rulers, because those are the ones who are to be the shield and the protection of their subjects. Christ, the King of Kings, is called our shield and sun in Psalm 84, verse 11. All these shields are now clearly seen as belonging to God. The kings, the rulers, all military powers and might, they now worship and serve the Lord Christ. Now we might ask the question, when does this conquest take place? Well, it is clearly after the ascension of Christ, after God went up with a shout and with the trumpet. And interestingly enough, remember the angel said to the disciples that the Lord will return in just the same way that you saw him go up? And we are told that he will return with the sound of a trumpet. And here in this psalm, Christ ascended with the sound of a trumpet. Well, it's clearly after the ascension of Christ. There's no question about that. And there's also no question that it will ultimately be fulfilled in the new heavens and the new earth. But could it be that it will also be fulfilled in the earth before Christ returns again? There is nothing in Scripture that mitigates against this idea. In fact, there is much in Scripture to commend this idea that the Great Commission that Christ gave to his disciples to disciple the nations will be fulfilled one day. But either way, as we sing this psalm, let us rejoice in the fact that one day we will reign with Christ over the nations. We've got to get this psalm into our minds, into our thinking. We've got to meditate upon this psalm. This psalm is about the victory of the church, especially when we look around us today at what is going on around the world. And there are so many that will try to say that Christ could, you know, could return any moment. It'll be very soon. There is nothing in Scripture that would say that the nations cannot be discipled before Christ comes again. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, the shields of the earth belong to God. And that will serve when we see the glory of the gospel spreading across the earth as a type of the complete conquest when Christ returns again. What a wonderful psalm this is about the victory we have in Christ, about the fact that we will rule with Christ over the nations, that we will judge the world, that we will judge angels. With those thoughts in mind, let's stand together and sing Psalm 49 from our Blue Psalters. Psalm 49, the A selection. 47. Sorry, excuse me, 47. I don't know where I got 49.